We relate to people differently when we experience dialogue. Dialogue is to and fro of communication. To and fro. So A is the sender, B is the receiver. Then when B receives the information, analyzes it, evaluates it, then B will send information back to A in terms of what can be a feedback, what can be an opinion, what can be a solution, any of it. Thus, an individual with high emotional intelligence will be mindful of the fact to preserve a relationship. So there are two kinds of people. One set of people, they will want to maintain that relationship. So their mindfulness of the conversation that happens. They are aware of the conversation that will happen, or that's my mistake. They are aware of the conversation that has happened. They are aware that the conversation may lead to arguments and the conversation can go out of control. But they also want to maintain a relationship with the person and do not want to really let the relationship go, you know, into a damaged mood. So they will do everything to have that emotional intelligence activated. What is emotional intelligence? If I can manage my own mind or emotions, I can manage anybody else. If I can't manage my own mind or emotions, then I can't manage anybody else's. So I have to constantly see to it that am I having a balance with my logic and with my emotions? Am I able to do justice to my rationality, or are my emotions overpowering my thought process? See, the moment your emotions overpower your thought process, then you will really lose grip of all the information that you have. Because you're seeing it from an emotional perspective. What are you seeing from an emotional perspective? Your thoughts, your views. And when you see your emotions, when you see your thoughts and views from an emotional perspective, then that will not really, you know, lead to a positive outcome. We're talking of the professional world, the corporate world. In your personal life, it is really up to you how you really wish to behave and tackle your emotions and yourself, right? It is necessary to give more positive feedback, which will create space for an effective dialogue and have empowering conversations leading to engagement of participants. See, even negative feedback can be given in a positive manner. If you ideally are not able to complete a certain project, so instead of me saying that, you know what, I don't think you're competent enough, this is negative feedback. What is a better way to say this? I always thought you were competent enough. What is it that is stopping you from really going ahead with this project and completing it? Are you facing any issues? So, you know, I'm giving that kind of feedback that I felt you have that kind of competency. I felt you have that kind of willingness. So what is it which is stopping you? And then I let the conversation flow to understand your thought process. So that kind of dialogue will probably empower the conversation because you will feel comfortable sharing what is actually bothering you. So it is very important to have a dialogue. See, according to me, an argument, heated discussion can be avoided if you can skillfully manage yourself and people around you. But as mentioned before, you really need to be in the present moment. You really need to be aware that you are actually in that moment and what you can do. So actually, it is up to you. So it is necessary to resolve conflicts in a difficult conversation and address issues. And at times, one can step back, look at the facts and evaluate what is going on. You must see to it that you resolve the issues. That is very important. Don't leave issues unresolved. You have to see to it that the issues are resolved. What do you need to do to resolve issues? You need to address it. You need to accept that issue or those issues. You need to understand that there will be a lot of ideas and views from others to resolve these issues. You can take a neutral stance by accepting what is told to you, by being neutral. You're neither against anybody nor are you absolutely pro anybody. You're neutral so that the issues are addressed and there will be effective solutions. Being focused on solutions means you can see possibilities rather than limitations. The more focused you are, the more possibilities you will see. If you see limitations, that means you are not really going to be able to progress. Limitations are an obstacle. Depends on what it is, right? Depends on what it is. If you say I have there's a limit for me to spend, but you will say, no, I'm going to go overboard with spending, then that's not an obstacle. That is something which you're doing by yourself. It's something which is incorrect. But when you have solutions, okay, then you have to see all the possibilities with those solutions. And you need to explore all the possibilities to come up with immediate solutions. There needs to be a shift in the perspective so that one is not stuck with the problem and moves towards an amicable solution. So you peacefully move towards a solution. So go to the root of the problem and visualize that you're overcoming the problem. So research says that when you actually visualize, definitely it helps you. For example, you visualize that I want to buy this car. I want it in white color. But it doesn't mean that you just visualize. You put in all your effort, time, and energy to really achieve that goal. But at the same time, visualization is a technique that can probably help you to accomplish that goal and move in that direction. Follow-up is the last step. When we talk of follow-up, that means you kind of re-engage the individual in the conversation that you had last. You re-engage that individual in the conversation that you had last. And once we follow up on what was agreed upon, then it means that the difficult conversation can lead towards a solution. Once we follow up on what was agreed upon, this also means that, once we follow up on what was agreed upon, this means we have agreed to certain aspects, certain points. And when we have agreed to certain points, can I have the probability to ideally see to it that the points that are agreed upon will be implemented? So is there a probability that what we agreed upon we live up to? If there is no chance of living up to what we've agreed upon, then again we are heading for even something more worse in terms of a difficult conversation. So definitely, whatever is agreed upon, one moves in that direction. Now, steps taken before initiating a difficult conversation. Very often, individuals may not really be prepared to tackle difficult conversations. Though difficult conversations can't really be avoided at workplace, it could also be linked to a negative feedback, working through a disagreement, sharing your anger or frustration towards an individual or event. See, when I talk of difficult conversation, it means that something is incorrect. something is not going in a manner in which something is not going in the direction it should go in. Somewhere there is a problem or an obstacle which is not letting the conversation flow. So what is important? The strategies that will help you to be prepared for tough talks. We can implement strategies. See, every problem has a solution. In fact, I read somewhere that if there's no solution, it may not really be a problem. Because every problem comes with a solution. Now, what is important? That the solution will not be as per your choice or my choice. But there definitely will be a solution to every problem. So what needs to be looked into? Firstly, to ask for feedback from the receiver at the outset for any difficult conversation that takes place. I request the receiver, listen, what is it that needs to be done? We are having these problems. What can we do? What is the most feasible solution for this kind of a problem? So it's safe, the attrition rate is high. What can we do to retain employees? What is the best possible solution? Let us discuss this. Now, the best possible solution may not really be the best for the opposite person. So you give your ideas, views, and suggestions and tell us. So in this manner, we communicate. We try to win over the other person through our behavior. See, the first thing I need to change from my side when we are having difficult conversations, according to me, I should change my behavior and approach with that person. I should be composed and come up with more solutions with that person. Only then will it help. Second, schedule a timing to discuss the reviews and be proactive about it. The reviews could be related to the clarification regarding the thoughts and objectives of the conversation. Consider what you want to achieve and what best can be done to communicate your message effectively. When I say the reviews could be related to the clarification, so you know what? Have some time to discuss that what is it which has probably made this conversation for so difficult. What can we really do to improve? Right? So now here we are talking of steps taken before we start a conversation. That means somewhere we know that it might lead to a difficult conversation. So I first need to identify what the communication is all going to be about. I also need to identify and understand what kind of personality type are you versus what kind of a personality type am I. I also need to understand that can you and I really relate to one another, or we already are having varied differences of opinions as far as work is concerned, as far as day-to-day life is concerned. Also, my focus should be that what is it that I'm wanting in terms of outcome? So I don't want to be stuck with this difficult conversation. I want to go beyond. I want to just look into other aspects. I don't want to really waste my time by being stuck in a difficult conversation and assume that, oh gosh, this is really a problem. I want to normalize the rapport. So I put an effort to identify the situation, understand the person. I put an effort to normalize the rapport. All these are steps I take and think over before I start a conversation. That let it be a normal rapport, let it be communication, no arguments, all those aspects. Focus more on positive feedback, because negative feedback can create a hostile environment and resentment. So I should focus on somewhere creating that kind of feedback, which is more positive. Even if the opposite person's body language is showing, you know, arrogance, the person has a frown, the person is making big eyes, I yet remain my normal self. When I say normal self, I yet talk in a manner by overlooking all these aspects. Because the moment I start looking into these aspects, then these aspects will really bother me. So I need to overlook these aspects. Then it will serve the purpose. Do's and don'ts of a difficult conversation. Make sure you have access to information with facts, data, details. Yes, the moment you have incomplete information, it's not going to serve the purpose. Constructive criticism can help diffuse negative emotion. Definitely, constructive criticism is criticism, but that is put forward with making use of positive words. Right? I've given an example. Or I can yet give one example now. Please see to it that you give the instructions to your team members. Please do not forget. This is one way, okay, of saying do not forget. Constructive or destructive. This is not constructive. But if I want to put constructive criticism, then I'll say if we forget to put instructions, it can be a problem for the team members. So we have to look into this. And we need to see to it that we give complete instructions. That's what this is, constructive criticism. Destructive would be, you always forget giving instructions, let it be. I really now, you know, I'm getting irritated. This is destructive. Your tone, the words that you put forward that you always forget, right? So constructive criticism can help diffuse negative emotion. As the word suggests, information or criticism that is put forward in a constructive manner. You're not destroying the person's emotions. You're not destroying the person's inner thought process, right? So that is destructive. Constructive is more towards a positive side. There is more clarity to understand the opposite person's thoughts, perceptions, and clarity There is more clarity to understand the opposite person's thoughts, perceptions, and clarity. Then effort can be put in to find solutions as to what led to difficult conversations. So the moment I put in effort to understand the opposite person, okay, and I have a clear thought process, that means I am not really creating any space for misunderstanding. I have a clear thought process. Then the effort can be put in to find solutions as to what led to difficult conversations. So the focus is, how do we create conditions for effective dialogue? It is important to propose timely options. Saying the right thing at the right time to the right person, conveying information at the right time, being proactive at the right time, all of this is important. How do I create conditions for an effective dialogue? Always be an active listener, a patient listener. Always put in effort to understand what is communicated. Always see to it that every time everyone may not think the same as you, and that people may think different from you, and move forward in that direction. Difficult conversation, the don'ts. Do not label the information that you need to deliver as a difficult conversation. The moment I say, oh gosh, this is going to be a difficult conversation, then eventually that conversation will turn out to be difficult. So just go with a neutral mindset. It may be difficult, it may not be difficult. Do not have preconceived notions or barriers, or make your own assumptions that will make the conversation even more difficult. So, you know, your own barriers, your preconceived notions, that means somewhere you're being judgmental, somewhere you are having views or having your own assumptions, which will make the conversation go in a different direction. So why have that kind of preconceived notion? A simple example. You have gone for an interview. It's already there on your mind that for the past three interviews, the interviewer was very difficult. The interviewer was very arrogant, according to you. The interviewer was talking rudely. So you have that kind of preconceived notion. Then when you actually go for the interview here, that keeps coming to you. And here, the interviewer is absolutely comfortable in making you feel comfortable. Absolutely comfortable talking to you. Not making you feel scared or not letting you be in the zone where you are in fear. Right? See, very often it can be possible, no, that someone was 25 years of experience and you're a fresher. So you automatically start feeling threatened or intimidated by that person. So the interviewer may not make you feel that, but somewhere you start feeling that due to your own preconceived notions. Do not arrive at conclusions without discussing and addressing the conversation that can be challenging. So when we say do not arrive at conclusions without discussing and addressing the conversation, so see to it that you have an in-depth discussion, you address difficult situations, you address that conversation and then move forward. Thus, it is an art to manage difficult conversations. This means that you have to be an active listener, but it also means that you have to give your undivided attention when you're in a difficult conversation. You have to avoid distractions. You don't have to go around that talk repeatedly. You have to understand how to come out of the talk. Because if you continuously beat around the talk, that means somewhere you're not really able to move out of it. If you have that skill, then you will know how to maneuver and move out of it. You may also be worried because you do not know how others will react. Definitely, what someone says is not in my control, and how someone behaves is also not in my control. But it is definitely in my control that I can bring about that kind of peace and harmony in a conversation by letting the person express himself or herself, and by seeing to it that somewhere I am bringing a balanced approach in terms of the way I'm expressing myself. Because what is in my control? My behavior, my words. What is not in my control? The opposite person's behavior and words. So a difficult conversation may happen because individuals may have different perspectives, but one needs to be able to take charge of the situation, remain composed, and be in harmony with the situation and people. And that will lead to a positive outcome. Completed the chapter. Thank you.